Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text of God's Word for our special meditation this morning is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, reading from verse 44 through verse 46 as follows. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, dearly beloved hearers of his wonderful word, this probably will come as no surprise to most of us. But survey after survey taken of young people across our country concerning their hopes and aspirations for the future reveal with astounding consistency their desire to be wealthy above all other considerations. That's why many enter the professions that they do, to see how much money they can make. They attend the universities and colleges that lend prestige to their resumes. They marry upwardly mobile and connected spouses. And they speculate in the most volatile markets. Even very young children show this very same tendency in their lives, dreaming of owning Porsches, of having a private yacht, of living in a sprawling mansion someday. Having food and raiment is just not enough. And advertising agencies literally feed on mammon lust and covetousness, cultivating especially the idea that a lot of money comes with no particular price tag. Witness, for example, the ads for the Illinois lottery, for gambling casinos, and get-rich-quick schemes of all kinds, including the multi-million dollar giveaways of magazine publishers. $5,000 a day. That catches people's attention. How sad, but how typical of our materialistic world today. That people's hearts are fixed, that people's hearts are fixated, we should say, on money and all that money can buy, on earthly treasures, the love of which catches them in soul-destroying temptations and snares, and in many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Indeed, a person's sense of values here in this world tells a lot about his spiritual health or lack thereof. For Jesus tells us, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He cannot serve God and mammon, the material things of this world. what a warning that should be to every one of us, who are constantly bombarded every day with the lure of riches, with the lure of affluence, with the lure of easy living. The treasures for which countless millions gladly, but sometimes unwittingly, even trade away their very souls. There is a treasure, on the other hand, which is well worth having. A treasure of immeasurable value. A treasure of imperishable durability. And a treasure of immovable stability, which we can have without any jeopardy at all to our souls. In fact, that the acquisition of that treasure is essential to our spiritual happiness, even here in this world, and to our spiritual survival in the world to come. Our text for today identifies it as salvation in Christ, our priceless treasure. In the two brief parables before us, the Lord Jesus shows us that this priceless treasure is hidden, as it were, in the gospel, and yet intended for all to find. It has been found by you and me, though not by any effort of our own. And finally, it is secured by faith, and it's well worth any and every sacrifice to keep it. Both parables tell essentially the same story and reveal the same truth. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. The man in the first parable is thinking about buying a parcel of ordinary, unimproved farmland. As he walks through the field, checking it out, he suddenly stumbles upon a most important and remarkable find. Years ago, someone apparently had buried a substantial treasure on this land. Not very deeply, anyone at all, could have discovered it with little trouble. And when the land was later put up for sale, the then owner not realizing that the treasure was there, the reasonable asking price indicated nothing particularly valuable about the acreage. In fact, this potential buyer, routinely checking out the property, had virtually no idea of the treasure at all. His only concern was that the ordinary-looking farmland was worth buying and would prove to be a prudent investment. What he stumbled on so effortlessly, however, turned out to be priceless. The situation in the second parable is similar. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. This fellow, an expert in the pearl business, wasn't looking for one specific pearl of great price. He was going about his normal routine of seeking goodly pearls, Jesus says, pearls generally satisfactory for marketable jewelry. The possibility that in his load of nominal oysters was a pearl of great price was so remote that he might have missed it altogether. In fact, if the oyster fisherman had seen the pearl first, this merchant would never have been able to even lay his eyes on it. It would be gone. Now our Savior says concerning these two stories, this is the way the kingdom of heaven is. A priceless treasure, a pearl of great price, has been prepared by God himself and located where man can find it. What is this treasure? What is the spiritual counterpart to the treasure and to the pearl in our text? What indeed is of such great value to our soul's welfare that price is no object? The first man sold everything that he had just so that he could buy that field. Nothing else, of course, than everlasting salvation in Christ Jesus, our priceless treasure. For the redemption of a man's soul, the Bible tells us, is precious. So very precious that we ourselves could never come up with a price of sufficient value to purchase it. The priceless treasure God has hidden in a field. The pearl of great price has been concealed somewhere in a bag of oysters. Now, both of these hiding places represent the gospel of salvation. The Holy Scriptures, which Jesus says, testify of me. The wondrous mystery of salvation by God's grace for Christ's sake through faith in his merits, God chose to hide in a plain, open field accessible to everyone. And yet a most unlikely place to stash a treasure. You see, my dear hearers, God does not want his priceless treasure to remain hidden from sinful men. Otherwise, he would have chosen a completely foolproof hiding place for it. But God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of this precious truth. But for those who are wise in their own conceits, the Bible tells us, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The gospel is so very simple. Salvation in Christ Jesus is so clearly proclaimed to all men in plain words that anybody can understand. In such simple and plain words that the self-righteous and proud wise guys of this world miss it altogether. They simply don't get it. They can read the wonderful gospel of salvation in the scriptures and not see the treasure, not see the pearl of great price, because the gospel is foolishness to them. The gospel is unto the Jews a stumbling block. Why would in the world would we want somebody as our Messiah who gets nailed to a cross and killed as a malefactor? Why? Why would we want that? Unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. We've done something wrong. We have become sinners before God. And we have to have the blood of some Jewish rabbi rescue us from these sins of ours? ridiculous. And so they carelessly meander through the field of the gospel, or haphazardly rummage through this bag of oysters, and they simply do not see the obvious before their very eyes. They don't see the gospel of salvation in Christ, our priceless treasure in its simplicity. But the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 following, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And yet Jesus tells us in our text, a man found this treasure. He found it in its unlikely hiding place. Not because he had been searching for it, but in spite of the fact that he had not even been aware that it existed there. He simply stumbled upon it. Purely by accident, we would say. Or, so it seemed. Jesus' point here is abundantly clear. The man found the treasure not by any effort of his own, but simply by exposure to the field. That field. The field which he simply considered at first to be a simple piece of acreage. So it is that you and I, beloved brethren, found our priceless treasure in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We didn't go looking for it. We didn't enter into some cooperative venture with the Holy Spirit to try to find it. We had no idea that the priceless treasure was even located there in the gospel of the Scriptures. But God's own Holy Spirit led our feet to stumble upon it, as it were. He opened our eyes to the value of what we read or heard in the gospel. He enlightened our understanding to its importance for our spiritual survival. The Holy Spirit of God shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of, in the person of Jesus Christ. But, you might say, the pearl merchant was seeking, wasn't he? Says so in our text. Doesn't that indicate some cooperation with the Holy Spirit in his conversion? At least some proper disposition toward the gospel. Here's the gospel. I know it's in here someplace, so I just have to keep looking until I find it. No, indeed. For the merchant man was not looking for one pearl of great price. He was simply shuffling through all of those oyster shells to find goodly pearls, reasonably valuable pearls that he could turn into jewelry and sell in the marketplace. The man had been seeking these goodly pearls as one seeks reasonable and satisfactory aims and ideals and aspirations for life here in this world, as some people use the gospel in the Holy Scriptures as a social means to get wisdom, to develop kindness, to have peace with all men. betterment of society, and so on. Nothing wrong with seeking those things, but seeking those things merely indicates a person's zeal and earnest endeavor toward temporal success here in this world. The pursuit of happiness, we call it in our jurisprudence today, the pursuit of happiness here in this world. Many people mistakenly regard the gospel of Jesus Christ as a blueprint or roadmap according to which a person is to seek goodly pearls in a purely social gospel. When suddenly, by the pure mercy and grace of God, they are struck with the singular truth that such goals as peace, real peace, love, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and long-suffering, as the Apostle Paul enumerates them in Galatians chapter 5, can be achieved only as fruits of saving faith in Christ Jesus, the Savior. They can only be achieved as fruits of the Spirit. And suddenly, the pearl of great price, Jesus Himself, the salvation of sinful men, is found in the precious gospel. Not by the effort of seeking, not by the diligence of the individual at all, for he didn't even know that such a pearl was there, but by the enlightenment of God's Holy Spirit through the means of the gospel. To be sure, the pearl is found by you and me in the gospel, but clearly not by any efforts of our own. But now that we have God's grace, now that we have found His priceless treasure and the pearl of great price hidden in the gospel, how do we secure it for ourselves and keep it for ourselves? The Lord Jesus shows us this in the third place by referring to the actions of the men in our parables. The first man hideth the treasure. He kind of slips it back under the sod of the field so that he won't lose what he had stumbled on, so that he doesn't lose what he had been led to find. He hideth it away in his heart of faith and spares no pains to buy the field. He sells everything that he has to buy the acreage. Notice that he does not buy the treasure because he could never afford it. He simply buys the parcel of ground in which that treasure is found. He lays hold upon the gospel in which salvation by Christ is found. The precious gospel field in which the treasure was found cannot be separated from Jesus' promise that if we continue in His word, then we will be His disciples indeed. Then we will know the truth of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus, and the truth shall make us free. On the other hand, if we were simply to cover up and rehide the treasure, but not buy the field, we would only have ourselves to blame if we were unable to locate that treasure again. One cannot despise the means whereby the treasure is obtained and then complain about not having it. The pearl merchant, too, shows this very point in his determination to make any sacrifice necessary to lay hold on and keep for himself the pearl of great price. This can only be done by the hand of faith, whose grip on that priceless treasure, that precious pearl, is strengthened by diligent and regular use of the means of grace. Ye therefore, beloved, writes the Apostle Peter, 2 Epistle chapter 3, seeing ye know these things before, seeing that you know exactly where the treasure is buried and where that pearl of great price is to be found, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Pity those spiritual fools, brethren, who in their own arrogance and conceits imagine that they can neglect and despise the precious means of grace, the field, the bag of oysters, as it were, and still hang on to saving faith in Christ Jesus, the priceless treasure. For when they habitually absent themselves from the hearing and learning of God's word, when they stay away from the field and throw away the bag of oysters, when they distance themselves from the very field in which the priceless treasure is to be found, they place their own faith in jeopardy. Indeed, for such erstwhile Christians, it will not be long before they slip back into spiritual blindness and ignorance, to the point where they will forget where they had rehidden that treasure in the field. They will forget where that pearl of great price was in that bag of oysters. Having it for their very own will have been a thing of the past. And they will be destined instead, by their own fault, to spend eternity in regret and shame and contempt for having carelessly given up that priceless treasure which was once theirs by faith. On the other hand, let it be our constant prayer to the God of all grace to keep us steadfast in His word and faith unto our end. Keep us mindful of the priceless treasure which is ours by faith in Jesus our Savior, to strengthen us day by day in faith by which we hold on to that which we could never purchase, that which is ours as God's great gift, that which is ours by faith in His promises. These are the means whereby His Holy Spirit continues to accomplish the good and gracious will for us in His word, and without which we would soon falter by the way. May He constantly redirect our thoughts away from the fleeting pleasures and treasures of this sinful world, which avail us nothing, and fix them on the glories of the everlasting kingdom which fades not away. The priceless treasure, purchased and won for us and for all mankind by our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The inheritance reserved even now in heaven for us, the Bible tells us, according to His promise. This is the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. The kingdom which we, by God's grace, stumbled on in an ordinary field. The kingdom which we recognized by his leading in a bag of oyster shells. The priceless treasure of everlasting salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.